Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
About 15 years ago, my brother and I just graduated from Bible college, and my brother was working up north as a constable in the RCMP, and so he, because he was working in an isolated place, he had like a month off. That's how his vacation worked, is twice a year he'd get a month off, and the rest of the time he was in this isolated zone. And we had figured out that when I graduated from Bible college, he would take a month off, and him and I would go over to Great Britain for a number of weeks. And we went over there, and my brother and I don't always get along, and there were a couple almost fist fights in that journey, and all this stuff, but it was a really good trip. It's one of those trips where we get to go, hey, you remember that time in London, you remember that time in Dublin, Ireland, or you remember that time in Hanover, Germany, or whatever. But when we got over there, there was one initial shock to our systems, and it wasn't us having to be together all the time. It was walking down the streets in London and going, I feel so white right now. I think it was the first time, no, it wasn't the very first time, but it was one of the first times that I was in a place where white people weren't the majority of the people around. And I started to feel like, I am so white, I stand out like a sore thumb, or, I mean, I'm the kind of guy that I would prefer to wear pants even in the summer, right? And so, like, I get pasty white, okay? And so I just feel so out of place with anybody that has any color to their skin at all. And we're there and we're just surrounded by people, and it's all obviously feels like I am getting whiter by the second and I don't belong. I think it was last year. Few months ago or last year, I was at a store here in town, and I was buying some lettuce or something, and I was waiting in line, and there was this other guy in line who was looking around, making comments about some of the other people in the store and the people that were running the store. And I was trying to ignore what he was saying, but I'm pretty sure what he said was, pretty soon there won't be any white people in the store at all. As in, I can't believe there's so many people of color in this store where it should just be white people. That's what he was saying. In that moment, I did my best to try to ignore that, not respond to that, because going to prison is a bad look on a pastor. But just tried to encourage the other people in the store. But it's an interesting thing, how we all respond and how we interpret who's an insider and who's an outsider, who belongs in a place and who doesn't belong in a place, and how we treat those who belong in the place and those who don't belong in a place, and how we navigate those kinds of social situations. And whether it's a race thing, a skin color thing, or something else, we seem to constantly, as a society, try to dance with who belongs here and who doesn't belong here, and how do we behave in those situations. And the reality is that we are constantly faced with those situations, and whether it's the your ethnic origin, or whether it's your style or how you dress or how you behave, we're constantly faced with the situations of insiders and outsiders, and what do you do with them? I mean, even in the church world, we are here, we're in this building, we're with this group, and it's very easy for us to look around the room and go, who's an insider here and who's an outsider? Who belongs here and who doesn't belong here? There are the people that know the hymns, the people who know their Bibles, the people that know how you're supposed to behave, where you're supposed to go, how you're supposed to sit, and that you're not supposed to sit in the front row where the pastor sits. There are the people that know that stuff, and then there's the people that don't. There are the people who are just, oh man, the world is just so messed up. Whether it's the things that have happened to them, or the things that they have done in the past, or the things that they're in the middle of right now, you look around and you can see like these conflicts where there are people who have run into those people and they see each other. Right? You know, where it's like, oh, my ex is here, or that kid is here, or that guy over there. I remember that time where he actually broke into my house, or he was rude to me at the store, and what is he doing here? Why is that person here? When we see these people who have all these really complicated, messed up relationships and past, and where you look around and we're like, man, they don't know the hymn book. What are they doing here? And so we face these insiders and outsiders in the church. We see it in society. We see it just in the community where we look around and there are people with different skin colors, there are people with different ethnic backgrounds, people with different religious affiliations, there are different cultural differences, and you're looking at them and you're watching them drive, or you're watching them buy things, or you're seeing how they're talking to people or how they're behaving or whatever, and you see these different people and you start to wonder, why are they here? How come they're running that business? How are they doing this thing? Why am I having to deal with this person? You guys have had the phone calls where you're talking to someone and you're like, can I just talk to someone who speaks English? And in our social circles, there are the insiders and the outsiders, where you've got your friend group or you've got your family group, and it's like, these are my people. I've got enough friends. I don't need any more friends. These people don't really jive with me. They're not really my people. Those people seem a little weird. He's got a weird haircut. He doesn't have hair. Like, she's got way too much makeup on. I wish she would put some makeup on. Like, and we look around and we try to just look around and figure out who is my person and who is not my person. And I'm going to stick with my people and everybody. We even get to the point where it's like, I've got my people and everybody else, I don't know if I've got the social energy for anybody else. Insiders and outsiders. When we get to the book of Ruth, we see something fascinating. take place. So in Ruth chapter 1, at the very end, it says that Naomi, so Ruth's mother-in-law, returned from the country of Moab. And remember, Moab was a nation that was hostile to Israel. So an enemy nation, a foreign nation to Israel. Naomi was living there, and Ruth was there, and Ruth's husband died. And so Ruth decided, I'm going to stick with Naomi. And so Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabite. They've already established in chapter 1 that Ruth was from Moab and she was a Moabite. But just for good measure, we see it again in verse 22. She returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Then we continue into chapter 2. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went and entered a field and began to glean or gather the leftover grain behind the harvesters. And as it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. And just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" And the overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came from Moab." Weird that the Moabite would be from Moab. With Naomi. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" And Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." What's exceptionally fascinating to me about that story and that statement is that when we turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, the book of the law that God gave to Moses, the instructions, this is how you need to behave, this is what I expect from you as the people of Israel, as the people of God, as the ones who are going in, clear the land, and this is how I want you to function from here on out. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, he says, "You are to love those who are foreigners." Verse 18 to 19, he says, "God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt." And that's not just a one-off. We see statements like this repeated in Exodus chapter 23 and Exodus 22 and Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24 and Leviticus 23 and another passage in Leviticus 19 and Numbers 22 to 24 and Deuteronomy 23. We see it over and over and over again. And we have this example in Ruth where God sees Ruth and how she has come to Israel to find refuge under the wings of God. And he explicitly gives the instruction in the book of the law, in Deuteronomy. And God says, I love the foreigner living among you. And you're to love them too, because you were once foreigners as well. I want you guys to understand this simple truth. Outsiders have a special place in God's heart. Outsiders have a special place in God's heart. We see that in Ruth. We see it in Deuteronomy. We see it throughout the biblical story. We see this in how we function. Did you know that incest isn't just wrong because it's icky? Incest is problematic because as we go, because we live in a broken world and there's genetic degradation, our genes, our DNA falls apart and breaks, that when you have too many of the same genes coming together, those errors don't get fixed. So if I'm missing a thumb, and my genes mix with somebody else missing a thumb, the kid's probably going to be missing a thumb and then some. And and even though it's the same pool of genes, that's where the problems come. It needs to be somebody outside of that normal gene pool that can bring in a different set of genetic materials that can correct those problems. And when you have the same genes over and over and over and over again, that's where you get all these weird deformities and where you get these major issues coming about. We breathe oxygen and we exhale carbon dioxide. Trees are different than us. They inhale carbon dioxide and exhale oxygen. If we didn't have that diversity, we would run out of oxygen. If you have 100 gold coins and you lose one, you don't say, well, I've got 99 gold coins and that one that's outside there doesn't matter. I don't like it because it left me. You put more effort into finding it. Jesus also made the illustration, gave the example of a shepherd who has 100 sheep, loses one, and he goes, you know what? Yeah, I've got the 99 who are here. They're inside the pen. They're already established. They're good. And he says, there's one outside there. There's one outside. And he says, I've got to invest more in reaching the outsider than the insider. Outsiders have a very special place in God's heart. And he makes it very clear right from the beginning of the story that if outsiders have a special place in God's heart, then they are supposed to have a special place in our heart. In the church, we need to understand that we are not looking to just maintain the 99 and have the same group of people. week after week after week. We want to find the lost coin. We want to find the lost sheep. We want to love and embrace and bring home those who don't belong. I've had people say to me, you know what? I can't go to a church because I'll probably get struck by lightning, or the church will probably burn down, or am I allowed to show up like this, or I've got to cover my tattoos, or outsiders have a special place in this house. And we as a church need to be doing things like welcoming people, including people, meet them, greet them. We need to be people who talk to those who are outsiders and set up a time to connect with them outside the church. Set up a time to include them and have a conversation with them. We need to be people who invite them to our groups, invite them to our small groups, invite them to our events, invite them to be part of our lives. We need to be people who invite others to the church, who are talking to the people that we meet and greet outside, the people that do not already have a place here, and bring them in and bring them to this place. We need to include them into this group. We need to be people who invite them into our friends' circles, who say, oh, I want you to connect with so-and-so, I want you to meet so-and-so, I want you to, oh, you would get along with this person. In our community as a whole, we need to be people who are full of blessing and kindness and grace for outsiders. We need to be generous to our enemies, generous to strangers, generous to those who don't deserve it, generous to those you don't know, kind to those you don't know. We need to be a people who actually smile at other people, and that's a lot coming from me. But giving a smile, a kind face, a kind reaction to somebody outside matters. Kind words, encouragement, patience, grace. So much grace for people. We need to be the people who are gracious, who give undeserved, unmerited favor to outsiders. We need to be people who not only function as a church to bring people in, and not only are kind to those outside these walls who don't normally look like the rest of society or our normal social circles, we need to be people who actually bring outsiders into our world. We need to be people who invite others into our lives, into our conversations. Hey, come on over. Join this chat. What do you think about this? That invite them to our celebrations, invite them in our prayers, invite them into our projects, bring them in. Who say, you know what? I see that you're here. I see that you're working. You don't need to go anywhere else. Come work with us. Drink our water. Join our group. We will make sure that you are protected and you are established, and you have come here looking to be in the shadow of the Lord's protective wings, and we want to make sure that you are taken care of. Outsiders have a special place in God's heart. They have a special place here. And they have a special place in us, because we were outsiders too. And I want to see the outsiders become the insiders. And I want to see the lost get saved. And this isn't just some kind of like social, cultural experiment or philosophy. Like, this isn't some kind of just humanistic anthropological study of human characteristics and social culture. Anthropology, whatever the rest of that word sounds like. The reality is, we have an opportunity to reach people with the goodness and the love and the protection and the resurrection of Jesus. And we may have the opportunity to see people get saved, their lives get changed. We have an opportunity to see our community become healthier, stronger, more positive, that breaks out of the bonds and the recurring, repetitive, incestual issues that come up in our communities over and over and over, and the recurring social disease. You and your family have a chance to be healthier by embracing an attitude of generosity and gratitude and humility and remembering empathy, as well as the blessing of a growing social circle. Now, I don't mean that we need to become a group of people who just accept everything. I'm not saying that we as a church need to somehow become Hindu or Muslim, or that we need to embrace characteristics of the Baha'i faith or something like that, and we need to just adjust who we are to make people feel welcome. No, that's not what I'm talking about. We are followers of Jesus, and we will always be followers of Jesus unashamedly. That is who we are. We are here under the shadow of His wings. I just know that outsiders have a special place in God's heart, and we need to love them, and we need to protect them, and we need to bring them in. Help them to begin, become insiders. The worship team is going to come up, and they're going to lead us in a few more songs. And I don't know where you are in this journey. Maybe this is striking you because you're kind of wrestling with, like, where do these people fit into our society, into our town? And God is reminding you, you know what? God loves outsiders. Or maybe you're in the place where you're like, you know what? I've been coming to church and I've been seeing these people come to church, and that's great, but you haven't really taken the step to reach out to them, to include them in your life and in your family. And you need to walk across the room and meet somebody you haven't met yet, and you need to have a conversation. You need to say, hey, can we have coffee? Hey, do you want to come over for lunch? Hey, do you want to, let's just talk, and have you met so-and-so? And you need to build some kind of friendship or relationship with somebody. Or maybe you're the kind of person there, you're scared or you're apprehensive about looking around and being like, man, they're not going to want to be part of church. They don't want to come here. I don't know if they belong. I don't know. And God has put it on your heart not to write people off. And He's saying, you know what? Those people who are on the outside, some of them are ready to become insiders. And He's put it on your heart that you need to reach out to them, and you need to love them and be kind to them, and not just focus in on the people you're already safe with. Whatever it is, don't avoid what God is saying. Don't avoid what He's putting on your heart. Lean into it. Listen. And remember that outsiders have a special place in God's heart.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.